Wow, that's some email from a billionaire, huh? A billionaire conservative Christian sent a reply. Private emails going back and forth. First, they were public about how Christians need to influence the culture and what we've done wrong for the last 30 years. And here, some of us here at Bob Inert Live, myself, Doug McBurney, others, we could be very direct, as you know, in admonishing or even rebuking leaders, Christian leaders, including very wealthy people who are worth hundreds of millions of billion dollars, who are very involved in funding pro-life Christian political efforts, national ministries, all of which for the most part have backfired. And so maybe in a moment here, maybe a bit later, I'll share with you the latest email back and forth, and I won't give you the name of this guy. We've mentioned him in the past. I think he's a billionaire. Why don't these guys ever send a donation in to Bob Inert Live? That's what I want to know. Oh, it's because we're confronting them. Yeah, but we do it with a smile. It's because we're rebuking them. So one of the listeners of Bob Inert Live, who himself, he's probably, I don't know how much he's worth, $50 million. And he donates a lot of Christian and pro-life causes. And he said, Bob, what do you mean you're going to ask so-and-so for a donation? You've just been slamming him in front of half the world. In front of Dr. Dobson, all these millionaires, billionaires, you're just slamming him. And I said, this other guy I'm talking to, his name is Steve. I said, Steve, that's our version of buttering him up for a donation. So I should get to that. But I wanted to talk about a few issues and how they interrelate. I mean, horrific stories about assaults against women and girls. But you have in Germany widespread reports, a number of reports of men, Arab men, and these are immigrants from the Middle East, Syria, North Africa, Muslim immigrants, roaming, this was on New Year's Eve, and groping women in large groups of men. Some, you know, half a dozen or more, others where there's 100 or hundreds of men, all by themselves, not out with wives or girlfriends, and groping women, sort of like what happened back in Egypt with the Arab Spring and Western reporters and other women in significant numbers saying that during these events, it was open season on these women for the men to grope them, rip their clothing off of them, and worse. And so that's happening now in Germany, or this past week, just a week ago. And that news comes out coincidental with this fatwad that Doug McBurney and I yesterday wanted to get to, we never quite did, about these Muslim leaders in Syria talking about which women, and I hate to even report this, and I don't know how I'm going to report it, but we got to connect it with the program, the women's daytime show called The View yesterday with Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and others. And they were talking about Bill Clinton. And of course, Bill Clinton is a serial sex offender. And that Hillary, how does that affect Hillary's campaign? And the liberals on The View, they basically said they don't care, even if he has raped women or whatever, even if Ted Kennedy did cause a woman to drown in his car when he left her at Chappaquiddick. Regardless, so what? You still vote for him because they support the feminist worldview, which more than anything, they want the right for mothers to be able to kill their children. That's one of the most important commitments that they have. And so if a man is a sexist, if literally a woman has died by his hands, if he has molested women, sexually assaulted women, groped women, raped women, none of that really ultimately is what's important. What's important is he going to keep child killing legal? That's what's important to them. And so it's not hard to discern the truth from the facade. The facade is it's about rights, it's about human rights, it's about women, it's about respect for women. All that's a lie. It's about killing kids. And why is that? It's something deeper even still than that. It's because kids are made in God's image and likeness, like we all are. And when you kill an innocent child, you're expressing your rebellion against God, your creator. And you're saying to him, don't tell me what to do. So to keep child killing, keep that industry going, they really don't mind all that much if their leaders are powerful white men who use their influence and authority to sexually harass and even sexually assault women. They don't care all that much. And then we have produced it's not a fatwad of our own. It's just a meme. It's a meme of Hillary. This is radio, so you can't see it, but you're going to want to see it. And I don't know how many people could go to my Facebook page, what percentage of our audience is on Facebook. But my Facebook page has this. And at our website, kgov.com/Hillary, you could see this meme. And this all ties in. So the meme, you know, we asked some of the moms on one of our boys' hockey teams. We were at a tournament this past week. And so a bunch of the moms sitting around a table waiting for a game to start. And I showed them on my cell phone. I'm glad I have a big screen. I showed them this meme. And I said, is this, and I don't even know if they're necessarily conservative or liberal. You know, you sort of get a sense. But I said, is this too mean to put out about Hillary Clinton? And they looked at it and they said, wow, that's really mean. Yes, put that online. Boy, is that mean. Put it online. So we did. It's at kgov.com/Hillary. And it has to do with some of these sexual assaults of her husband or harassment using his authority. That's what executive privilege to a Democrat means. You could sexually assault women and get away with it as long as you have, if you're a white man in position of power and you support child killing, you get away with it. So you've got this fatwad issued over in Syria by an Islamic legal authority, and he's issued an opinion, sort of like the U.S. Supreme Court issuing an opinion that two men could get married, how absurd that is, or that it would be permitted to dismember unborn children in the womb, how absurd that is, or that a black man could be owned by another person, how absurd that is. These are all U.S. Supreme Court rulings, their opinions. And so this Muslim fatwad, I don't know why they call it a fatwad, but they call their opinions that they issue their fatwads. And so this Muslim fatwad just issued this past year, 2015, just surfaced by Reuters and London's Daily Mirror. And they report that U.S. Special Forces, they recovered documents after going after some ISIS official, and they recovered documents, these Islamic documents in Arabic, and so of course they have Arabic translators, and they translate the documents, and this one is a fatwad ruling about how Muslim men can treat women and girls that have been captured in their Islamic jihad, in their battle against infidels, which is anyone who's not a Muslim to them, whether Jews or Christians or others. And this this fatwad, it's a couple pages long, and it has 15 rules about all the things that Muslim men could do to the women and the girls that are captured in their battles or as they're taking territory. And this is how it begins, all right? I'll quote it to you. Should I quote it in Arabic or in English? All right, English. My board operator says English. A very small percentage of our audience could understand Arabic. And I don't know how to read Arabic myself, so thank you for saying English. Okay, so here it is. One of the graces which Allah has bestowed upon the Islamic State of Caliphate, caliphate is their word for a government that is implementing Sharia law, and it's an Islamic government. One of the graces which Allah has bestowed upon the Islamic State of Caliphate is the conquest of large surface areas of the country. And one of the inevitable consequences of jihad is that women and children of infidels will become captives of Muslims. All right? So that's the context. Then they list 15 rules that Muslim men should abide by regarding the treatment of these women. And for the most part, they all involve raping these women for the most part. But just how you can and cannot do that. And so rule number 6 of the 15, I'm not going to read the whole 15 because it's all so disgusting. But rule number 6 of the 15 that were issued is typical. The owner of two sisters is allowed to have one, but not the other, not both of them. So that's how, and those sisters, I mean, it's most likely that's going to be two children, two girls who are not yet women. This fatwad is about the women and children of infidels who become captives of Muslims. So they're talking about when they capture two girls, two children who are sisters, then, and I cleaned up the wording a bit because it's also disgusting, but they say that the owner of the two sisters is allowed to have sexual relations with one of them, but not with both of them. See, for years on the show, when we've referenced Muhammad, we've said, you know, Muhammad is a false prophet. Allah is not a god. And Muhammad was basically a child molester. With his, what was it, his Coptic slave girl? How old was she? You know, the Mormon Church recently put out a document about the history of all the wives of Joseph Smith, their founder back in the 1800s. And it's just so weird that you have prominent people who are Mormon. It's just so weird. It's just such a bizarre cult. But Joseph Smith, he was a gold digger in New York State. And he charged mostly, like, you know, widows or vulnerable people, charged them money to go up in the mountains and find hidden treasure. And so they dig holes in the hills around. Where was it? Was it Elmira, New York? I forget. And so the people there would say, yeah, we can still see where Joseph Smith dug holes looking for golden treasure. So eventually he said he found these tablets and these spectacles, these special glasses. You put them on and he could translate the tablets that were written in Reformed Egyptian, which is not a language. But he said they were written in Reformed Egyptian. And so part of his religion was that he could have sex with a lot of women, marry a bunch of women. And he married tons of women. And some of them were rather young, and some of them were, you know, terribly young. And so the Mormon church said, yeah, but a number of these marriages, and they admitted to his many, 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 many marriages. And they said, yeah, but some of them were celestial marriages. They were not consummated. So I guess you got to take Joseph's word on that. But with Muhammad, something similar in Muhammad's wife, and you could read about this in the Quran, although it's a bit oblique. It's not real obvious. I recommend picking up a Penguin copy of the Quran in English, and they have footnotes that help you understand the, you know, the idioms and all. And so Muhammad, his first wife, his primary wife, was angry at him because he showed an interest in this young girl, this Coptic slave girl in their household. And so she was mad at her husband. And so Muhammad promised her he would not touch this girl. And then Muhammad, later, his lust got the better of him. And he told his wife that Muhammad deserves what Muhammad wants. And if you don't stop complaining, you're going to burn in hell for it. And he broke his pledge, his promise to his wife. He gave his word, but he broke his word and he took the Coptic slave girl for himself. So it's not surprising with him defending that kind of behavior, and that's Muhammad. It's not surprising that some whacked out Islamic legal authority in Syria with ISIS would issue a fatwa saying that Muslim men could could by force take women and children of their captives. Is it surprising? Of course it's not surprising. It's part of their heritage. And so is it surprising that when Muslim men are out in the square in Egypt, that Western journalists, reporters, women get groped and their clothing get ripped from them? Is that surprising and worse? I mean, you really got to work to avoid that kind of behavior. Is it surprising that millions of Muslims subject their daughters, their young girls, to a butchery because the Muslim men blame the women for their own sexual obsession? Is that surprising? And they try to make sure that the women will not be the source of sexual immorality, so they butcher them. I mean, it's all so horrific. So now in comes Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg into the scene, because also in the news is someone else that Barack Obama doesn't seem to be able to find it in his heart to rebuke. And it's Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill Clinton, because there are women confronting Hillary Clinton. How could you say you're standing up for women's rights when you're the enabler in chief? Your husband is a serial sexual criminal. He's a sexual predator. He harasses women sexually, assaults them, and has raped at least one woman, Juanita Broderick. And so in this discussion yesterday on The View, which, you know what, a couple million people watch that show, there's a Paula Faris on there, and she's pointing out all the women that Bill Clinton has assaulted or committed these crimes against. And I like the fact that it's so well known that she could just list them within like 10 seconds, just a few of them, and what he's done, and the whole culture is aware now. Because Juanita Broderick, people would not have known about Juanita Broderick, possibly, if it wasn't for Doug McBurney and Leslie Hanks and Joe Scott and a handful of others I could name who helped us go to 145 cities to protest Bill Clinton for what he did to Juanita Broderick, Connie Sharon. I mean, and we, and westward in Denver, we had a list of 144 of the cities online, and the contact names and phone numbers for people who headed up the protest in those cities. And a Westward reporter, I think it was Michael Roberts, just, you know, how could this single radio show in Denver, Colorado, get people in 144 cities to do all this? Didn't believe it or doubted it. Any reporter would check the facts, right? So he thought, I'm going to call 10 of these. And probably the numbers are all going to be disconnected or who knows. And he called 10, and all 10, he got all 10 people who headed up the protest against Bill Clinton in their city for raping Juanita Broderick with, you know, the Bob and Yurt Live protest, the Juanita Broderick protest against Bill Clinton, which everyone had large black banners that had Bill Clinton's face and the word rapist. Yes, there were plenty of public school teachers who thought it said rapist. They said, what's a rapist? Does Bill Clinton rap? They never knew he rapped. I mean, that's, they're public school teachers. What can I tell you? But we did this, and it, the cost to create all these banners, the hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature, scores of protest kits FedExed all over the country, it cost a fortune. It cost about, well, it was about $110,000, if I remember correctly, that we spent in a two-month period. $110,000 that my wife, Cheryl, she's a hero, a trooper, and she allowed me in my insanity to finance all that, hoping that, you know, our audience would step up to the plate and reimburse us. We didn't want the world to forget that Bill Clinton is a rapist and that Juanita Broderick deserves justice. We didn't want the world to forget that, and it looked like the world was going to forget that. Because during Bill Clinton's impeachment, this crime he committed against one of his campaign supporters who owned a nursing home, this crime was discovered, but the Republicans didn't have the courage to name Juanita Broderick or to introduce this information. And so we were worried that it would just disappear. And so that's why we did all that. By the way, you guys in the audience, you did step up to the plate. And within about 4 months, we recouped $80,000 of the $110,000 we spent on all those protests. We took over a warehouse in Denver, and a four-story warehouse. In every room, it was empty, it was for lease. Every room, we strung clotheslines and hung banners. And we had professional painters come in and paint the banners. They had to use oxygen masks because the place was like a toxic waste dump with all that paint. Four stories of a huge warehouse of paint, thousands of banners produced. Oh, and it took Cheryl and I many, many years to recover financially from that effort to make sure that Bill Clinton would not get away with this unscathed in this life. Because on Judgment Day, of course, he's going to meet his accusers, and Jesus Christ will be there, the prosecuting attorney, against Bill Clinton and against Hillary Clinton for being an enabler and an accomplice before and after the fact of each of these serial crimes. We finally took in $80,000, and the $30,000 was very difficult. That ended up being financed on our credit cards. And it took until just recently for all our credit card debt to be retired. I thought I'd be retired before that was retired. So Cheryl and I, we haven't used credit card now in a couple years, and Bob and Yurt Live has even attempted to stop using credit cards, which it's difficult to run a business without that ability to supplement your cash flow. But you guys helped, and, well, really everything. You guys did the whole thing because eventually we were able to pay that off. So here is on The View, Paula Faris says this about Bill Clinton and Hillary's difficulty because she has made excuses for her husband and worse. So Paula Faris says to Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, she says, well, there are the accusations of three women who claim that Bill Clinton did these terrible things to them. One is Paula Jones. Then there's Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Wiley. She just listed them. Kathleen Willey. They say that he either exposed himself to them, raped them, or groped them. These are three accusations. And then you have both of these women, Whoopi Goldberg, saying basically, Whoopi, who cares? We'd vote for him anyway, even if he did these things, because, you know, he supports abortion. That's the bottom line. She said he supports women's issues. That means he supports killing babies in the womb. And Joy Behar, the same thing. In fact, it was just horrific. You know, it's all over the internet, but the things that were said, that you got to support them anyway because they support women's issues. How's that? And so at our website, kgov.com/Hillary, we have, well, it's a pretty harsh meme. I don't know if it's going to go viral. We've just put it online. And you know how there's a dating technique with dendrochronology? You could date a tree by counting its rings. Well, with Hillary, you could do the same thing by counting her ring coals. And so it has juxtaposed an actual tree, and that tree began growing in 1527. And it has that year there pointing to the center, and that's the year Machiavelli died. And then it's juxtaposed with a photo of Hillary in all her wrinkles and the year of her birth, 1947. And then it has all the horrific things that happened during the life of the tree, like Britain's bubonic plague, Ivan the Terrible's massacre, Guy Fawkes' gunpowder plot, the 16th century mega drought, and finally the Jamestown massacre. And then with Hillary, you've got 1947, her birth, 1986, Whitewater, 1992, the Juanita Broderick rape, 1998, the Lewinsky affair, 2012, Benghazi, 2015, the email scandal. You got to see it. If you see it, if you would, post it on your Facebook page, and it'll point people back to our Hillary page, which has vital information for them. So, kgov.com. Hey, this is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.